C.S. Lewis once wrote, "There are only two kinds of people in the end, those who say to God, 'Thy will be done,' and those to whom God in the end says, 'Thy will be done.' All that are in hell choose it. Without that self-choice, there could be no hell. No soul that seriously and constantly desires joy will ever miss it. No soul that seriously and constantly desires joy will miss it. Those who seek, find. Those who knock, to them, the door will be opened." This observation by Lewis helps us to understand what Jesus said and meant at the end of today's gospel. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever disobeys the Son will not see life, but must endure God's wrath. Now, let's start with the first part of this saying. He who believes in the Son, says Jesus, has eternal life. This life is the kind of life that is more and more orientated towards praying, "Lord, thy will be done." This is the kind of person who seriously, as Lewis says, and constantly desires joy, and he says we will never miss it. I'll talk a little bit more about what we mean by joy in a second. But here's in part what Jesus is saying to us today. If we make it our daily desire to trust in Jesus and to do his will, we will find the true meaning of our lives. A meaning expressed by St. Peter in today's first reading when he said, we must obey God rather than man. That's doing the will of God. Now, this very kind of obedience is what Jesus is talking about in the gospel. When he talks about the witness that he is bearing from heaven, as so often happens in John, we can first read it and say, huh, that seems almost contradictory, like this sentence. He, that is Jesus, testifies to what he has seen and heard, yet no one accepts his testimony. Okay, that seems clear. Jesus has spoken and everyone said, no, Jesus, we're not buying what you're selling. But then he goes on to say, whoever has accepted his testimony has certified this, that God is true. But wait, I thought you said no one accepts the testimony, and now you're saying people do accept the testimony? What's going on here? This is a strange saying. And as Jesus often does, he wants to kind of say something in a way by exaggeration in order to get our attention, to get us to think a little bit more about what he is saying. And part of what he's getting at here is the following. That from the perspective of the world, it can often seem that no one accepts the testimony of Jesus. I mean, think about it when he went to the cross. At the foot of the cross, you've got a few women and you've got St. John. That's it. It seems like the whole thing is a complete write-off. What a failure. This didn't kind of accomplish what it seemed to accomplish. And yet Jesus says there are going to be those who will accept this testimony. And they will certify by this that, yes, God is true. Think about that in your own lives. As you discover more and more what it is to follow Jesus, to be open to his will, to be open to his word, don't you come to a greater sense of your own identity and a greater understanding of the meaning and purpose of your life? That's what Lewis meant when he said, all who seek joy will find it. Joy is not happiness. Joy is the discovery of my life's meaning and purpose. Joy gives us an understanding that life has a direction. Joy is known by those who say to Jesus Christ, I want to be a disciple. I want to follow you. And while it's true that discipleship, which is to say yes to Jesus, is hard, it is also good. That I know that I am living my life now for God. Jesus says that when people live this way, we have entered now into eternal life, right here in this world. And when we have this understanding, we discover what it is to be born from above. Now, here's something to bear in mind. In these readings that we had today, yesterday, and the day before, Jesus is in conversation with Nicodemus. Who is Nicodemus? Well, he is a member of the council, also known as the Sanhedrin. And what is happening with Nicodemus is there's a change of heart. He is open to Jesus. He is open to considering, what can this man mean, and what does his life mean for my life? Now, compare Nicodemus with the rest of the council. We hear about them in today's first reading from Acts. And here's a striking thing. Did you hear in what Alfredo read today, St. Peter's confidence? He speaks with such conviction. He speaks with such assurance, a trusting confidence in God, where now he can say of our Lord, God exalted Jesus at his right hand as leader and savior. What had happened in Peter's life? Well, through the crisis of Holy Thursday through Easter Sunday, and then through to his restoration, St. Peter had learned to surrender his own will. Lord, not my will, but your will be done. And so he has a confidence and a conviction that he never had before. But here's the striking thing. Conversely, as St. Peter expresses his confidence, we hear from the council of which Nicodemus is a member the following. We're told that they were filled with rage and they had homicidal intentions. They wanted to kill St. Peter and St. John. Two responses to the same Jesus that could not be more polarized. And it's always this way in the world. The message of Jesus leads to different reactions. For some, it's absolutely clear. Yes, I must follow him. For others, it's like Nicodemus. I need to continue to understand and to seek to see what this means. And for others, there can be a profound and deep rejection of the gospel. We know this in our own lives. We see it in the relationships in our families, amongst our friends, and in the world. So let me end by trying to answer the question, what in the world does Jesus mean when he says, he who does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God will rest upon him? Now, when we think of the word wrath, we think of someone losing it big time, don't we? That's not the wrath of God. It's not. We know this for a fact because in Romans chapter 1, St. Paul puts it this way. The wrath of God is visited against man's disobedience. And then he goes on to define what that means, that God gave men and women over to themselves. That's the wrath of God, that he gives us over to ourselves. Or we could put it this way. The wrath of God is exercised by God saying to people, if you don't want to do my will, then you do your will. If you don't want to say, thy will be done, then I will say to you, thy will be done. When we discover that God is always desiring for us to come into relationship with him, we also discover that God respects our freedom, and thereby we have to be able to respect the freedom of those who at this point in their lives might be saying, I don't want God's will for me. Nothing can change that except a change in the person, like we see with Nicodemus and his relationship with Jesus. So my beloved brothers and sisters, in light of today's readings, may we discover more and more what it is to say with St. Peter, we must obey God rather than man. And so be men and women who are learning to pray, Father, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.